Let's go on to our next panelist, which is Tom Durham. Tom is a partner or retired partner at Mayer Brown, also focused on IRS controversy. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you, Larry. I try to stay out of Facebook arguments, but one that I can't resist is when seemingly educated people claim on Facebook or somewhere else that the rich don't pay taxes and that they're tax rates need to be increased, particularly, you know, back to the levels of the 1960s when they were 90% or 70% through much of the 60s. And I hear these arguments from some of my old college professors who ought to know better if they were read up. And unfortunately, these arguments are also heard in Congress, in the White House. And I try to intervene in these sometimes because I try to increase the level of the discourse, but it doesn't work very often. The truth is that over the last 40 years, the so-called rich have paid an ever-increasing share of tax. And the lowest 50% of income earners have been virtually released from any tax obligations. The lowest 50% of the income earners pay next to no income tax. And for most of my time here, I'm going to be talking about income taxes and not necessarily including the payroll taxes. When I was a young tax lawyer back in 1980, one of my first assignments was figuring out whether the then top rate of 70% applied to book royalties. Because that was the top rate back then, and a lot of my work during the 1980s was with various tax shelters that people used to lower the rates. But those have, for the large part, been eliminated over the years. The tax rates have been as high as 90% back in the early 1960s. But very few people paid at these tax rates, and really almost no one. In 1962, the IRS statistics indicate that only 447 returns out of 71 million paid tax at the 90% rate. And since 1980, as rates have fallen, actually, the rich have paid an increasing share of income tax. And this has come from broadening of the base and elimination of many deductions that people used to be able to claim. Since 1980, the interest deduction has been eliminated, except, for, of course, for mortgage interest and investment interest under some limited extent. Charitable tax deductions have been reduced, personal deductions have been reduced and phased out, and there has been an increasing broadening of the tax basis, and so much so that our tax code, most people don't realize this, is much more progressive than most countries. In fact, it's probably the most progressive tax code in the world. And there are some statistics which can be cited to prove this out. In 1980, the top 1% of income taxpayers paid approximately 19% of the total share of U.S. income tax. And by 2018, that doubled to over 40%, so that the top 1% of income earners now pay 40% of all income tax collected. And on the other end of the scale, in 1980, the lower 50% of income earners paid 7% of the total share of all tax. But in 2018, and that's the latest year for which we have figures, that had been reduced from 7% down to 2.9%. There was a very interesting graph in the Wall Street Journal. It was on May 12th, and it was in an article written by Phil Graham. And it published a graph showing the statutory marginal income rate beginning up at 90% in the early 60s and coming down over the years. And this graph compares the marginal tax rates to the shares of income, of their individual incomes paid by the top 10%, top 1%, and the bottom 50. This graph includes payroll taxes, so it's a little bit different. And in particular, it shows the lowest 50% being a little bit higher amounts of tax than what I've given to you. But what the graph shows is that the top 1% and 10% have paid an ever-increasing share of their income to taxes over the years. It hit a high point around 2000 when Clinton tax increases had kicked in and the Bush increases, the Bush decreases had not come about yet. But the line shows an ever-increasing trend through the years. While the bottom 50% pay about the same rate that they've always paid, but much of that is payroll tax. And through these years, ever since 1980, the taxes as percent of a GDP have remained about the same. They roughly bounce around between 16 and 18% of GDP. And so there's been a long historical trend of ever-increasing taxes on the so-called wealthy. And one of the big issues that we face right now is, can Joe Biden change this? And he needs to change it significantly if he's going to get more income for his program. And what the statistics that I've showed you, told you about, is that the truth is that most of our untaxed income is at the middle class. In the Scandinavian countries, the tax percentage as a percentage of GDP is north of 40%, and it's about half of that in the United States. Now, those Scandinavian tax rates are much lower than ours, but those rates extend deep into the middle class, so that those in the top 50% are usually paying at close to this marginal rate. Now, to paraphrase Willie Sutton, under our system, the middle class is where the untaxed money is. So it's going to be an interesting question of whether Biden administration is going to be able to reach into that middle class to increase rates on them, because there's a pretty good argument that the rates have reached their maximum possibilities on the top 1%, the top 10%, and the top 25%. So Larry asked us what we're optimistic about, and I'm continue to be pessimistic over the low state of our discourse on this area, because I think most people really don't understand the system. But I'm optimistic that there probably are going to be minimal increases that can be supported on higher earnings.
Tom, let me interrupt you there and ask you a question.
Sure.
You know, we're doubling the IRS budget. Historically, you spent many years defending taxpayers for various types of tax shelters, recharacterization of incomes between capital gains and ordinary rates, and other aggressive tactics that taxpayers have done. You mentioned earlier that a lot of those have been closed. What do you think the IRS is going to go after among individual taxpayers to get some of this $700 billion in revenues?
Well, I have a hard time figuring that out. Phil mentioned that their offshore income was a big issue around the time I retired 5 or 6 years ago. That was a very big issue. There were enforcement amnesty programs against people with offshore income. And through increased cooperation with some foreign countries, I think that's probably no longer a very viable source, at least for most people who don't want to take those risks. I have a hard time figuring out where the tax gap is going to be on the upper income people, which I think is sort of what the same thing with Phil was saying. With increased information reporting on 1099s and so on, and partnerships, et cetera, I don't think that there's a huge pool of untaxed or unreported out income out there. I mean, there's certainly some, but I don't think that there's going to be a huge amount out there. My doubt is, one of the things I think Phil also mentioned is Bitcoin, some of the technology currency, possibly that's going to be an area of exploration, but I'm not convinced there's going to be a huge amount. In the 1980s, 1990s, there was huge amounts of tax shelters, and some of those were quite legit and worked. Some of them didn't. And when those were audited, the ones that didn't work produced additional income. I'm just not sure that there's a lot of low-hanging fruit for individuals these days. And it's going to be interesting to see how that develops over the